response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Dirt and Sprague.
Play action from Mendoza, and he comes back over the middle, and he's picked off. Wood as the rookie. Mendoza trying to track him down and cannot. Pick six for the Texans and the rookie.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
And again, the hang time showcased Cowan from the 16. Trying to get to the edge and does. Gets a block. Now down the sideline. Kicks his footing across the 40. Cowan with one to beat, and he does. He's going to go. Jacob Cowan. House call. Touchdown Niners.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 The Fan. And the Fan Sports Network. Happy Football Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
180!
185! Oh, it's back, baby.
182!
Oh, it's back.
185! What's that? Here we come! It's a man's game now!
Yeah! Yeah! 180! What's that? What? Terrible! What's that? Somebody jump on sides!
Here we go!
It is back. Happy Friday. Good morning.
What's happening, everybody? Happy Football Friday. The second official slash unofficial Football Friday of the football season.
The football's pretty terrible, but it is, it's nice to have football
Technically
back.
Speaking, it is a Football Friday. There it was is. Football on my TV last night. There'll be football on my TV tonight, man.
There's 15 days until college football is back in our lives.
Fully in swing. We're yes. a week away, or 8 days away from the week zero games. A week from Saturday.
I mean.
I know, yeah. I know. It's really dumb. But technically, the game. Do count.
They do.
We
will watch.
The standings or the records next to your team name will count when you win or lose those games next weekend.
So yesterday I started my fence project.
Yeah, you're building your fence in your backyard.
Which was just an absolute pain in my ass.
And oh, this thing the hottest day of the week.
Good call.
It was a little
yeah.
steamy
it
out
was
there.
Hot as balls yesterday.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
yeah.
know it.
Yeah, really
I
hot.
Was only shirtless and still sweating so much that I wanted to take my skin off.
It's going to be a nice, cool 81 today. Should have postponed one day. Kick it tomorrow.
You know the sections in between posts of fence?
Yeah.
Yes.
So my buddy John is helping me with this because he's a big construction guy, okay?
So we're building this ourselves. Is this the plan?
Yeah.
We decided we're going to do this one.
Mr. Plywood supplied it.
They hooked you up with the wood.
And I was going to hire people, to be quite honest with you. And he right. was like, No, you need to do this. And I was like,
really?
This.
He told you to
it's
do it yourself?
Fence. You can build this.
Well, he's going to help me.
Okay.
I mean, he knows what he's doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
Now, did you have to go?
Laying the big wood.
This laying the big wood. Did you have to go and, like, sink the posts and get the concrete and that sort of thing?
So here's what's funny. None of the three people on this show have any idea at all what to do in a fence building situation.
No, not at all.
We have a general idea of how it works.
Yeah, I get the
concept.
Exactly.
Nuts and bolts of it.
So he comes over yesterday, and this is like just after the first quarter, I want to say, of the Raiders-Texans game.
Okay, it's
so
about 5:30-ish.
Yeah. It's already over. It's 17-3. Mendoza's playing like
right after the
crap.
Pick six. Thanks.
Right after the pick
there
six.
There you go.
Right.
So he comes over, and I have no idea what we're doing. He pulls out one of these jigsaws or, you know, not a saw, but like it looks like a saw.
Okay.
It's got a blade that
yeah,
you attach.
There is a blade involved.
And he, I was like, all right, how are we going to do it? And he just
starts cutting
He just literally
up.
Cut my entire fence down.
Really?
And the sections between the posts are usually about 8 to 9 feet width.
Yeah, something like that.
He just cut all those sections down. He has a dump trailer, and he just says, pick them up.
Let's go.
And, like, he's like a 6'4", 270-pound man. This is a big dude.
He's hauling some wood around your backyard.
And he's just picking up the sections, putting them on his shoulder, and walking away with them
like
to put them in a
trailer. Like, fully intact sections?
Dude.
That's bananas.
Well, guess what I had to do?
You picked up that section.
I did. Now, was I putting it over my head easily?
Throw your back out? Yeah.
No, I didn't. I'm
you
okay.
Head to coast next week, man. You got to take
That's
it
like
easy.
That's like when have my brother come over to help me do something, and he's just, yeah, just moving large things. Just,
right.
Nah, I'm just doing it. Yeah, not breaking a sweat, not breathing
it
hard.
It just looks like it's 10 pounds for him, and legitimately, yeah. I think it's like a 90-pound or 100-pound section. And I'm like kind of dragging, lifting, and I'm like, just get it there. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it.
We want to tag team this thing? I'll get one side. You get the other side. What do we think? Make it a little bit easier? Work smarter, not harder here?
It was not fun. I had to move 2,000 pounds of concrete by myself. That was fun.
That's an easy thing to do.
Oh, yeah. Just
that's
delightful.
Very simple. Go throw that thing in the trailer.
It's like, well, I'm cutting. Why don't you move all those bags of 80-pound concrete? And I go
put them next to where we're going to pour them, all right?
Let me get right on that. So I just had to move them bag by bag. It's terrible, dude. It wasn't great.
I remember when, I think it was later in high school, my folks put a new fence in, and that was one of their things that, like, they wanted me to help, and I remember the process being incredibly difficult, incredibly long.
Yep.
The idea of pouring the cement, making sure everything's level, you know, nailing everything in, every board's got to be cut the same length. You can't have one that sticks out a little bit.
Yep.
Then you got to stain it when it's all in. It was an absolute pain in the ass.
Yeah. And he thinks we're going to be done with this by Saturday. And I'm like,
he's giving you a 2-day work window here, huh?
I think.
Are we jumping on it again today?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Dude,
so we're going till
day.
We're going full go till we get this
we're
thing
leaving
done.
Here at. I'm leaving at 10:01.
10:01. We're
I
heading
will
straight.
Be in the car.
Go build your fence.
And I'm going straight to my house. And we're finishing the rest of the dump.
Okay.
And then we are cutting the posts and adding new posts.
Oh, okay.
He says once you lay the post,
then it's pretty simple, yeah.
It becomes easier.
As long as those are set, level, and all that, down the right line, then you just got to nail everything in.
Yeah, does he have a nail gun?
Yeah.
Boom, boom, dude. Boom, boom. You can't name something he doesn't have.
Yeah.
He has 4 trailers for 4 different kinds of projects.
That's a good guy to know right there.
It's a great guy.
This is a good friend to have.
Well,
that's one of those people. You keep him close. You hold him tight.
It's a good friend to have until he does the thing where he's coming to help you build a fence, and he goes, your gutters need to be replaced.
Hey.
And I went,
one project at a time here, okay?
Like, there's rust there.
Don't be replacing my gutters, too.
He goes, I know a guy. You might as well replace them all. It's only about $3,500. Okay. And I went,
no.
Hold on here.
Brother man.
I'm just trying to get a fence done.
You
here,
came
right?
over here, now I'm $3,000 less in my bank account.
Let me talk to my sales staff.
Do you know how expensive wood is? All right. Wood's spending right now.
Does your gutter guy do installment payments, or does he do layaway? Is there a thing I can do here?
You got a pro bono gutter deal you're working on here where I'll help you with the labor. Maybe I get a discount. Come on, help me out a little bit.
I feel so utterly useless, but we at least got it started yesterday.
It'll feel fantastic when it's all done. That's
what
one
I
of those
telling.
Like
the posts
the fence.
And getting everything lined up and level.
Yeah, then it's easy.
He's got
breezy,
the yarn like going between the posts, so you know where the guideline to put the slats of the fence.
I didn't grow up doing a lot of manual labor. I did that a lot later in my life. Like I worked for my uncle's roofing company when I was 18, and then when I was 20. That was like my real, I did yard work here and there, but like we didn't live in situations that required a lot of maintenance, right?
Right.
It's like apartments, mobile homes.
Right.
Yep.
Like, so I'm not very familiar with the physical labor world. I don't have a lot of experience.
No. Right.
And I am absolutely.
We don't have any calluses on our hands doing this job. Not a lot of those.
Not in this job.
I get
no.
a callus occasionally from hitting too many range balls. Other than that, that's
exactly.
about it.
Yeah. So if I'm not doing manual labor, the idea of doing manual labor, I'm always in my mind like, who could I call and hire?
Yeah, who is the person I could go to here?
But even though I'm kind of a city boy, what I would say is like, once I'm locked into a project, I'm in.
Yeah, you're all
I go to a dark place, and I'm like, we got to get this done.
Well, especially too, it's funny because I just talked about this when you were out. There's a bit of an internal clock ticking of football season's almost here. And that eats up a lot of time, and it eats up a lot of weekends.
I got to get that fence done.
Right? Like, some of the weekends, you're like, whatever, the games aren't that great on a Saturday. Maybe I could get some stuff done here or, you know, whatever. There's a bye week for this team or that team. And so you'll have a little openings occasionally, but there's that internal clock going of, like, it's about to get real. Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. There are not a lot of days left in the week that aren't incorporated in a football season. And the last thing you want to do is have a massive fence project that's going on the entire weekend, right? So smart strategy you to get it done now. Hood to coast next week, and then football fully begins.
Well, I love the idea that you have, you're literally blocking out Monday.
Oh, yeah.
And
Monday
there's
night.
One game.
I mean, I got to be around Monday night
Thursday,
football. That Chiefs Broncos opener? Are you
We're
kidding
off
me?
At 10 a.m.
It's an AFC West thriller.
10 a.m. I'm jacked for it. It's funny because
I have the entire day.
I do the same thing you're doing of like, oh, I don't know, man, Saturday. It's like there's going to be a 5-hour window of crap football.
Oh, without a doubt.
That we won't talk about on the show.
Nope, but you can't miss it, though. That Iowa-Illinois game at 9 a.m. What am I going to do if I don't watch that game, man?
So that leads me to something funny that happened. So before I started the Fence Project yesterday, and by the way, made a grave mistake, massive mistake. Point of note. Note of point. Point of note? I don't remember how it goes.
Note of point?
Yeah, I'm probably not saying it right at all. Do not work out 2.5 hours before you start a massive fence project. That involves heavy, heavy lifting.
Yeah, probably not a great idea there.
That was a stupid idea by me.
It's going to full sweat in.
But as I was in Arnie's and I'm watching NFL Live and I'm like taking in everything in the day, I get a text from a coworker. Patrick Harris.
Ooh, what's P. Harris want?
He texts me, and I want to read, because I want to be very honest about this. I don't want to upset anybody. I feel like you and I, you may not like a lot of stuff that we do or say, but the one thing you and I think you can agree on is we have been very, very honest about where we are as football fans.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
At least with the local team.
Yes, without a doubt.
I was listening to the boys.
Well, I put a game on in the background. Sure. Will I go to a game maybe once a season? Yeah.
Have a great time.
It's a great atmosphere there.
Summer night, have a couple of beers.
I appreciate what they do. They've brought a title to this city.
Yep.
And there's a lot of diehards that love the Timbers. I'm not anti-Timber. I'm just not a big MLS guy. And Patrick knows this of me. So Patrick yesterday texts me in the middle of the afternoon. It was right after he had gotten off the air. And he shoots me a random unsolicited text and says, would you watch Louisiana versus USC instead of a Timbers game on the road against a team battling for similar playoff position? I'm like, okay, it's an interesting question. Because next year, by the way, they're going to do the speed season.
Yes.
But they're going to be on the Premier League schedule.
They're changing the calendar.
It'll be a fall to late spring kind of deal.
There'll be a mini season from like February to May.
And then they'll get, and they'll unveil their.
And then they'll start, I believe, in August.
Yes.
Because the Premier League starts this Saturday.
It does.
Oh, the beginning of the season.
And
okay.
I've been told like it's good for the calendar because of transfers, everything that is around soccer, it's good for, right?
Also the World Cup, the years that happens and guys go play.
So he asked me this and I go, is that the only college football game on? And he goes, no, Arkansas, Utah. And I go,
oh God, yeah.
I'm in.
Definitely college football.
Yeah.
Timbers might be in my iPad screen though. He goes, wow, sicko. I said, I never really care about the MLS as a league. I don't think they do a very good job for themselves. And I have a Premier League team. So, like, I've already kind of gotten into soccer in some way.
Watching a little more footy.
And it's a better team than the Portland Timbers from a talent standpoint. No offense.
Sure.
And he goes, what about February, March, April, end of MLS season? I said, buddy, that's the Super Bowl, NBA trade deadline, and NBA playoffs. He then goes, wow. He then responded again and said, Arkansas is picked dead last in the SEC. And I said, that's fine. Utah beating Arkansas would be huge for Scally and really draw eyeballs about the SEC.
A nice little Big 12 win over the SEC,
huge
man.
Big 12 win over
they
the SEC.
They need that dub right there.
But it was just funny because he was trying to pull games out of his ass.
Yeah, just random college football games that I could throw at you.
And I'm like, dude, I'm not watching every down, every second of Louisiana, USC.
I'm watching the majority of the first half, though, fully until the game's 42-0.
But Arkansas-Utah's on the main screen.
Right.
Louisiana USC is on the iPad,
right.
And I might on my phone, if it's on a charger,
right,
have the Timber game on with a little noise.
Yeah, if you throw like a Timbers playoff game at me, and that's the argument, would you watch Louisiana versus USC or a Timbers playoff game? I'd probably say the playoff game.
But see, he tried to bring that out, and I understand. I'm not saying I won't pay attention or no. It's
right.
More like if the NBA playoffs are on, For me, and you know that I'm a little different than you.
Yes, that's your jam.
I will watch Knicks Hawks game three, round one.
Even 2-0 series doesn't matter. The other team's blowing them out doesn't matter. It's the NBA playoffs.
I will.
You enjoy it for a couple of weeks, then it's all gone for the rest of the year.
Right.
The missing football games seems sacrilegious.
Sacrilegious.
Yeah. Thank you. This time of year, especially. Now, if you throw this at me, maybe the halfway point of the season. When you've had your full fill of football, like that's when we get to the point of like the Thursday night game, and you're like, oh God, it's.
I mean, they give us duds all the time,
right,
on Thursday
Falcons
night.
Versus Panthers,
yeah.
And you're like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be on my TV, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm excited to watch. But if you throw me the idea right now of watching a Falcons versus Panthers Thursday night game, I'm watching every second. I watched every second of the first half last night of Raiders and Texans.
Oh, the Raider Texan game.
Yeah, like Mendoza was in the game. It was on. Like, there might have been a moment or two where I'm popping into the kitchen and then popping back in, but that thing was on, and I saw almost every single play of the first half.
Sure.
And then it's Mendoza's out, whatever, let's flip it off. And then, hey, look at that, the Charger game is starting. So I was bouncing back and forth last night. But I'm also just, I cannot wait. Like, next weekend, it's stupid because it's starting in Ireland, which is dumb for an American sport. And the slate blows, but I'm going to watch every second of probably 4 or 5 football games next weekend.
Oh, I mean, you know, Hood to Coast is going on, so I'll check out some of the action on TVs and Seaside when I get to town.
Like, does North Carolina get drilled? Because that'd be pretty funny if they did. TCU, by the way, there's a report that they had a fight in their locker room, and one player knocked another player out.
Ooh.
That player is still in the hospital, and the other player got kicked off the team. So,
Ruh-roh. You
know, that's an interesting little storyline. You get USC versus San Jose State, which will be 87 to nothing.
But it's still a preview of USC.
USC and how do they look, and you get to watch it. And so, like, there's enough to – there's a fun G6 game, Memphis versus UNLV.
Dude,
which might be one of the contenders for the playoff spot for the G6. And then I get Stanford versus Hawaii at 4 o'clock. Why not?
ESPN's very weird. They don't call it week zero on their scoreboard. It's week one, but it's extended from the 29th of August.
They just combine the two things because there's only like 7 games the entire day.
We
also get North Dakota State and the Fargo Dome, their first game at the FBS level. Why not?
How about that?
Tickle my fancy. Jacksonville State's in town. The Bison are favored by 7.
I mean, this is
I'm
so
for
ridiculous.
Sure gonna be watching.
So
I'm
is
literally
the NC
like,
State Virginia
I was gonna say,
game?
NC State Virginia has me a little interested.
Well, is that a conference game or is that?
That's
that
a great question.
No, didn't we look this up? Isn't this that?
Well, this
weird
is the one that caused all the ACC problems last year.
They have that again. I don't know if this is one of the games. Let me see.
I love a conference game to start a season. By the way,
I do too.
I'm cool with Ohio State Texas type game. Games, obviously, but I'm also cool with random conference opener. Like, I can't remember why or what the year was, but I looked this up once, and if I'm mistaken, please correct the record.
No, there was
Washington, Oregon, I think, opened a season 1 year.
I was there, yeah.
Why did they do that?
I don't remember why. I don't remember if other teams in the conference did it.
But
and I remember
God.
It was really weird, and Oregon kicked the crap out of them.
But how exciting would that be?
It was a very fun way to start the year.
You know what I mean?
USC used to do that occasionally when the Notre Dame game was the last game of the season.
Oh, they'd open with a conference
they
game.
They would open with a conference game. They'd play Stanford or
them
Cal.
And Stanford would always play in the first couple of weeks of the year because Stanford and USC both play Notre Dame in a non-conference game later in the season.
Yeah.
That one was pretty – that was always a good kind of rivalry early in the year.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times it was the opener. I don't remember if other Pac-12 teams that year did that or if that was just an Oregon-Washington thing, but I remember that game vividly. I was there.
I feel like I – because I went through this. This was years ago.
That was a trend when – the SEC, I think, used to do that.
I want to say Oregon State had a year, but I might be wrong on this. When I looked it up, they had a random conference opener or something. I was like, what?
According, by the way, to Google AI, the NC State Virginia game does count as a conference game.
So that is a conference game
that.
This year.
Virginia,
I love it.
People are high on Virginia. They were in the ACC title game last year. Mm. Brought a lot of talent back.
You don't need to talk.
I'm
into it. We're going to watch it. You don't
football.
Need to sell it. I'm going to watch it.
Get your wolf pack on. What do you think, man? You excited about that one?
I felt like I let a coworker down because, look, Patrick is doing a great job, and what I think he brings to the fan is a very valuable thing. We know Swag likes the Timbers. We know Sukanik frequently pops mushrooms and goes to Timbers matches.
He loves doing that.
But, like, Patrick is legitimately sitting in the press box. He's legitimately doing Timber Fan as a show every week. He is really into it, and I think he does a good job bringing that coverage to the station.
Without a doubt.
And I love to talk with him about this stuff because he'll never get offended by it. and vice versa.
No.
But I felt like I let him down a little bit by saying Louisiana USC. Louisiana. Takes a little
Send
bit of priority.
So, you know, the question.
Is tomorrow morning. Throw an early pick six? You know, does it get uncomfortable in the first quarter?
Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Are you in front of your TV or are you on the fence?
7 a.m.
Do we have a Forest game?
Nottingham Forest and Leeds opener.
Season opener?
Ooh,
I will have that game on.
Premier League.
Yeah, I'll have my jersey on that you got me, and I don't think the fence project will start quite that early.
You can't quite start at 7 a.m. That's a little too early for the neighborhood. There's a cutoff there. About 9 a.m., I feel like, making loud noises.
We're against it. I guess I'll ask. I want to ask you guys a neighbor question.
Yeah.
I want to get to the football stuff, be a sports show today.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you a neighbor question.
Mm.
About
anybody else paying for that fence?
Well,
different question.
It's a different conversation.
You go knock on a door. Anybody say yes?
Well, I want to talk about that. So I have a question I want to ask you about your neighbors.
Walk around the neighborhood with a collection basket like your church. See how that goes. Any offerings? Anybody? No? Nothing? Okay.
And I want to know if other people have noticed this about their neighbors. So I want to ask that on the other side, and then we'll dive in. We had NFL preseason. We can get to the overreaction of a pick six that was 80 yards. And an observation about myself involving NFL football that I also realized yesterday, and I'll tell you what that is. So, loaded show. It's good to be with you. Dirty poll rolls on. Should we tease who it is or
we
wait?
We can now. Now that we're on the show, we can.
Okay,
now that it's day of, but you got to tune in to find out.
Okay, I didn't know if you want me to wait until the segment.
Okay. I already tweeted out he's coming on the show, so anybody who clicked the profile can figure out that Texas Tech is number 11.
Texas Tech.
The villain of college football, who also, by the way, where are they going in week two?
Oregon State.
Corvegas, baby.
Yeah.
They're coming to town. Are they scared?
Kind of want to go to that game.
See, that's a fun opener, man.
It is.
It's a night game, too, I think, right?
What else is on the slate? You know what I mean? But we'll get to all of that.
Good
it's
question,
a loaded show today. It's good to be in a Football Friday. We're back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan text lines 503-864-6326. So a quick question for you guys before we dive into the football chatter.
Yeah.
So I didn't really talk at length about building a new fence with my neighbors who also will share the fence.
Right. The other one's getting the benefit of the new fence.
I kind of lacked on that. So yesterday I find out we're going to cut it down and we're going to start the project. So I'm supposed to go to the neighbors who are going to be impacted by a fence falling down.
Your
right?
backyard fence is now going to be gone.
My side neighbor who my daughter plays with their kid, I talk to them. They're good. We're ready to go. I go to the houses behind me. And the first house, which has the most fence that we share, I've seen them before, but I've never met them. Mm-hmm. So I knock on the door. Now I'm wearing a black t-shirt and black shorts, and I'm standing kind of away from the front door to make it not look threatening or anything.
Yeah, I'm not peering in your windows.
There's no cars in the driveway. Nobody's answering. I'm like, they probably aren't home, but also, do I look like a door-to-door solicitor?
Ah, in the all-black outfit?
I was
I would
a little
say all-black. Is it necessarily
too
solicitor-y?
So I like that. They're not home. The next house, which shares maybe 20 feet of fence, not very much, all their cars are in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
I ring the doorbell. Their dogs start barking. You can hear pitter-patter.
Yeah. Do they have a ring camera?
I didn't see a ring camera,
okay.
No. Nothing.
Nothing. Not answering the door.
And I'm like, okay, maybe they think I'm a solicitor. So yeah. I walk away. About an hour and a half later, my friend who's helping me do the fence, he goes, you should really go tell them because we're going to cut the sections down.
This is their part of the fence. It's going down.
And they have dogs. And one of those dogs sounds mean behind a fence. So I don't want that dog you know, I don't want to surprise them with
it. He's in your backyard all of a sudden.
So my wife goes, what if I go with you? Maybe they'll feel easier that there's a woman with you and they'll answer the door, whatever.
You're a couple.
So we ring the doorbell again. Dogs bark again. It's clear somebody's home. There's pitter-pat. You can hear the walking.
Right. Clearly going to go see who it is. Who's at the door?
No answer.
Not opening the door.
And I don't know if it's the way I look, if it's soliciting door to door, even though everybody has no soliciting signs. We're still getting it every day.
It happens constantly.
I don't know what it is, but the idea of a neighbor answering a door doesn't feel as easy as it once did. And I don't know what to do about this because I'm going to have to cut that section of their fence down, and they have dogs.
That's a very weird thing.
We left a note on their door an hour later.
Heads up here. This is the main benefit of the Ring camera because I do this all the time. People knock on the door, and your first thought is, who the hell is it, right? Like, you go open it. First thing I do, you look at the Ring camera. Who is it? Is it somebody with a vest on that's trying to sell me something, and they have a clipboard? Did they ride up to the front of my house
with
a scooter?
Do they have a clipboard is a good way.
Is there a clipboard? Is there a vest? Did they ride a scooter here? If none of those boxes are checked, and at this point, I haven't met all of my neighbors, like, per se, hey, I'm Andy, nice to meet you, shake your hand kind of thing. But if one of my neighbors knocked on my door, I would recognize what they look like. Like, I've walked around enough to know the face, and that's why it's a little weird that they wouldn't answer the door. Because it's one thing if you just moved in, they've never seen your face, but I'd imagine as an adjacent neighbor, they've seen your face at least once, right?
I don't know, because they're kind of behind me. We have trees.
Do they not walk around? You never, like, walk around back that way? You never walk the dogs that way or anything?
I go once in a while, not very often, because it's like it's a dead-end street, so you just go in and you kind of come out. It's not a through street that I would drive through.
But the other benefit of the Ring is that if they had one of those cameras up and they're clearly not answering the door, thinking that you're trying to sell them something, whatever it might be, you could just talk into the Ring camera. Like, hey, my name's Brandon. I live right over here. Just wanted to let you guys know. Because then that's all. You get the thing on your phone. You watch it. And you can see the entire message and hear everything that you're saying. And you essentially leave your neighbor a voicemail alerting them to what is to become.
Well, you don't realize this, but if you don't meet your neighbors, because our deck sits a little high the way our yard's, it's a sloped yard.
Yeah,
so our deck
slopes
is
down
a little high because it's just level with the house.
Right.
But that puts us a little above their fence line. So when we're out on the deck, I can kind of see into their yard.
Right. This is my point. Like, they can't see from the yard up to you on the deck. You're out there on the grill, you know, working your Blackstone, whatever.
My concern is more like any conversation that's happened in my backyard, have they heard it and been like, I hate this dude.
I'm not dealing with this guy.
F this guy. this F those
he's
people.
He's a real piece of work, man.
Well, and, you know.
Answer the door if he knocks.
Yeah.
Hey, heads up. Your fence is going down today.
I don't know what to do. We left a note, and I think I have to call it good.
That's all you can do.
I have to call it good.
I'd maybe give it one more cursory knock. Maybe by the third time they see you there, they'll discover that you're not trying to sell something, and you're just trying to give them a heads up of like, hey, you want to talk about this for a second? Because the last thing you want to do is have that fence cut down. They're not paying attention. That dog comes outside, and all of a sudden, there's no barrier.
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, that dog's looking at you like, what the hell are you doing in my backyard?
First poll question of the day is up. What do you look for when trying to tell if a solicitor is at your door, a vest or a clipboard? I think that's a very good question.
I'm always a delayed answer the door guy because neighbors will pop by at some point, you know, hey, we're going out of town. Can you watch this? Or hey, can you, you know, whatever the case may be. You always take a look at the camera. Oh, it's a neighbor. All right, I'll go answer the door. But if you got a clipboard, man, that door ain't opening up.
We'll see if come Monday the project's done. I don't think it will be, but fingers are crossed for it. But all right, let's get on to the sports stuff here.
The football.
Well, we had football yesterday. I don't know if people consumed a ton of it, some of it, all of it, a little bit of it, or none of it. What I would say is yesterday leaving the show, once in a while you'll give an opinion and maybe that opinion for whatever reason comes back and you're like, I really feel this way. One of those yesterday for me was I don't, in my own personal opinion, have any faith that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be good in Atlanta.
No.
I think it's going to be an utter disaster. I think they're quietly tanking and hoping Penix isn't good so they can move on. And we'll get another year of hearing how Stefanski is a genius, but somehow still continues to not win. It's very weird.
The next quarterback they take, that's the one when it will work.
Or he'll win 6 games and be coach of the year because they overachieved.
Right. Although, if you could win 6 games with Tua, you know, maybe it's an argument there.
Guy did it, got fired. He's in L.A. right now coaching Justin Herbert.
I'm very glad he did get fired.
Here's my takeaway. I don't know if I'm on the internet more now than I have been in months previous, or this is a real thing to you. I feel like we're getting more reaction and even more detail in camp to a point where it's kind of polluting my opinion or my rational brain of don't put a lot of investment in this.
it doesn't count yet.
Yes, this
and
is
I think
all...
I'm doing that to myself. It's like Jalen Hurts had three picks against the Patriots, inner squad scrimmage.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, oh buddy, and I'm like, how many three interception games is he going to have this year? Likely not more than three, probably. Yeah. You know, who knows? But
right. He doesn't throw the ball a ton. It's not like he's turning it over a ton.
Yesterday, there was a report that a Bills player said, this is check down city against the Browns. And one of the Cleveland reporters who works for our sister station in Cleveland was like, right. I will not say who this was, but it was definitely number two.
Yeah.
And then somebody was like, oh, really? And they showed a clip of Shador throwing a long bomb against the Bills. And I'm like, I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know what's real. They're doing a great job of getting me excited and drumming up controversial opinions in moments that don't count.
Kind of sums up the preseason perfectly, does it not?
It
Where
does.
You're so excited for football that you are waiting around and watching a lot of these games. So the question of how much did you watch last night? I mean, I watched a good amount of football last night. I watched the entire first half of Raiders-Texans, and the Niner-Charger game was on at least until the third quarter. Now, I wasn't watching as closely because the starters came out pretty quickly in that one, but it was on my TV the majority of the night. You do have to remind, we're all jonesing to have takes. We're all jonesing for football.
No doubt.
We're ready for it to be here. You do have to take a step back and remember, wait a minute, this is practice and these games don't count yet because we've had teams go undefeated in the preseason and go winless in the regular season, so it doesn't mean that much at the end of the day. That being said, there are moments where I will allow the camp notes or videos to solidify opinions and to piggyback on one of yours.
You will let it?
Like, did you see the highlight of Tua yesterday that popped on social media?
Yeah.
He looked like Brucey in The Longest Yard.
Well, he can't do well under pressure. He has to get the ball out quick, and he's not
scrambling
doing that.
Around. Nobody can touch him. He's panicking
it into the ground.
And he's just throwing balls into the ground. Like, that's one where you shouldn't let, you know, training camp videos and practice highlights dictate the way that you feel. But I already feel a certain way about that signing, and that's only going to solidify my opinion of I just don't understand. I would love to sit down. Who's the Falcons GM? Is it still the same guy it's always been? Demeroff, is that his name?
No, or I don't know. Matt Ryan's running the show there.
Is it Matt Ryan?
Well, he's the president of football operations.
According to Google AI, Ian Cunningham is his name.
Yeah, there you go.
I would love to sit down with Ian Cunningham.
Like, why did you need to sign him?
What's the point of this? There had to have been somebody else on the open market that just is like, the plan is clearly for Penix to start.
Is it?
Has to be. He's in year three. You got to see what you got.
But this GM and that coach didn't pick Penix. It was the previous regime who just got fired.
Right.
They have no emotional tie to Michael Penix.
Sure.
He cost them largely nothing at that position. And this was a really good point that I heard on NFL Live. You know, it's one thing to bring Andy Dalton in. It's one thing to have maybe a Mac Jones who maybe he'll get another shot as a starter. It's an entirely different thing to bring in a subpar height quarterback who clearly had diminished when you're in the situation you're in.
Right.
Like, it just didn't warrant bringing in a Tua.
No.
It warranted bringing in an Andy Dalton type.
A Joe Flacco.
A Flacco.
He was available.
And saying, that's the backup. We know he can play nine games, but we're going to see what Michael Penix has, and then we'll decide if we move on or not.
Then it makes sense. Instead, you got damaged goods that wasn't good in his last place and just clearly isn't going to be going forward. Like, that's one. You never say never to a certain extent with NFL quarterbacks. That's one I'm saying never with. The injury history, his lack of arm strength, the inability to win games in cold weather.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, it's just, there's nothing there.
So that's different to you than Darnold, because Darnold is a good reminder of, like, don't completely give up on guys.
Darnold has the physical traits to be an elite quarterback in the NFL.
Well, and he was last year.
He was, and he was in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And for a year as a backup, everybody raved about him in San Francisco, mm-hmm. right, once he got to a competent organization.
And so, he learned how to play the position, I think, in San Francisco.
And there's no pressure. You get your kind of gap year, and then you go take an opportunity as a starter, and works out for you. Like, mm-hmm. We know how this is going to go. Like, Penix is going to get cleared maybe today, maybe tomorrow. They're hoping he's going to get some reps in the preseason and wrap things up. I don't know how Penix is going to be.
He should be week one starter.
I use the analogy yesterday, and I'll use it again. It reminds me of the Giants signing Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Of just like, they already
had Winston.
You already had Jameis Winston. Yeah. You already drafted Jackson Dart. So you have your veteran backup who's a great personality in the locker room, who's beloved by his teammates. Like, if that's your break glass in case of emergency, you put Jameis Winston in the game if you need to. Nobody wants to put two in a game. Go sign Joe Flacco.
We got the cafe at the top of the hour. Who knew that turned into a Falcons segment?
I apologize, Falcons fans. It's rough. It's been a rough go.
By the way, no clear indication that it's almost late August and we're sitting here with Jags and Falcons segments on this radio program.
It feels good, doesn't it? It feels good.
Coming up next.
Oh, who are we going to?
is Stanford back?
Yeah. DeVita Pritchard, I believe. I believe, DeVita.
Yeah, you know, who knows? No, with more football, we'll get to the other side. We got Cafe Top of the Hour. We're back with more on The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Cafe Day Dirt and Spray coming up here at the top of the hour. That is your booty.
Get your booty ready.
It's been very funny. We hinted at it yesterday. We didn't talk about it. It's been very interesting to watch the NFL guys go back to college.
It just is making a mockery of the system. And I've seen a lot of college basketball coaches, Dan Hurley being one of them, saying, welcome to the battle we've been fighting, because this is going on in college hoops more than it is college football right now.
Well, I assume you talked about it. Maybe you didn't, because there was a lot that happened while it was out. But, mm-hmm. Did you guys touch on the Dusty May quotes?
No, I didn't end up getting to that. I did not.
He was asked why he left Michigan for the Dallas Mavericks, and it was this. He was like, it's a disaster. It's not being legislated. Nope. It's a very big problem for the sport. I couldn't handle it anymore. So you know what I did? I took a better gig.
Yeah, it's the Dallas Mavericks. They're paying me more money. Cooper Flag, and I don't have to actually recruit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win. Cooper Cup.
So much football in my brain.
At least he didn't go Cooper Rush, although he is in Atlanta too. Harley reminded us of that in their quarterback room. This is why, it didn't end up happening. We're in the summer recess. Will it happen before the election cycle? No. But is there still hope maybe at some point on the horizon that there's federal legislation? I would say yes. And this is where these kind of things make me supportive of a bill that I don't fully support every bullet point of, if that makes sense.
Well, they can tweak it to the point where I think you and I can
could be
have
more
an agreement
on a level.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, that makes a little bit more. Like, this stuff has to stop. We are in a world where all it takes is a rogue judge to have a ruling, and that's it. And there's one judge who says, yeah, you want another year of eligibility? I don't care if you went to NFL camps. Come on back. That's all it takes. Somebody, and I believe this conspiracy theory. I do believe that there is an aspect of the NCAA that they want to lose as many court cases as they possibly can.
So they can get their power
because
back.
Every time one of these comes out, what does every rational-minded person say? This is ridiculous. What are we doing here?
If Pavia tries this again to go back, which wouldn't be surprising.
Then what else is he going to do?
Well, but also, who would take him in to the point where he'd be able to learn what he needs to learn?
That I don't know. That's a great question.
That would be a payday to me, not actually a player that's going to impact winning on a high level.
I'd have to go look if there's a coach who's got relationships with him or he's familiar with
Vanderbilt's
the system.
Got the Curtis kid.
Right, you're going to start that freshman. I mean, they got a battle going on, but I expect Jared Curtis to start right away for Vanderbilt. But yeah, I do believe the conspiracy theory of let's tank as many of these as we can. Every time a new headline and court case comes out, it makes people agree more that there's some need for legislation to put an end to all of this. But until we get there, it's just going to continue to be the Wild West.
Well, so I have a friend who's a Seahawks fan, and he follows college very loosely. He's not a diehard college guy, but he's a Seahawks fan, and he posted the image of running back T.J. Harden, and it was announced while he was wearing a Seahawks uniform, in a preseason.
I think he played in their first preseason game against Dallas last weekend.
And it said he has hit the portal, and he goes, what the hell world am I living in? And I was like, welcome to the new life of football between pro and college. There was another one yesterday. Ole Miss tight end Daquan Wright became the first NFL player to hit the transfer portal. The undrafted rookie is looking to return to college football while currently a member. He's going to make the Brown roster.
Yes.
They like him. And he now with this ruling is
some school might
pay
me.
I'm undrafted. I don't make that much money. I go back to college and make $2 million, and I just need to know my route trees.
Right, potentially, depending on who needs you and who needs a tight end.
So it's a bit ridiculous, and it is a bit of a circus, to say the least. I don't like the legislation still. I kind of agree with you that whenever – don't they take the whole August off?
Yeah, I can't remember the calendar off the top of my head.
These people get on television and tell us how lazy Americans have become.
And none of them work.
And then none of them work. Right. They don't pass any meaningful legislation. They allow all these billionaires – anyways, I don't want to get political.
I digress.
But my point is, I do think you're going to be right in they're going to pass it.
At some point.
But it's more like, what tweaks do they make to the bill? Because you know my stance, and I thought it was very eye-opening yesterday. It was really good stuff from Matt Moscona yesterday on LSU. I thought his Jaden Daniels stuff was good. I thought him just talking about the team. Did you catch the little blurb in there? Not that this was a surprise to people. I'm pretty sure I have it right, unless Swag can correct me. that he basically told us in the interview, that's a $50 million roster.
That's what he essentially hinted at. Yeah, you're paying $50 million for your team. There are expectations where...
Are we supposed to be an agreement of a cap at 23, but we know they've jumped that shark 2 years ago?
Yeah, there's no such thing as a cap,
$50 million roster?
That was the last tweak that they put into the bill when they were trying to ram it through before the summer recess happened. A lot of the big fish in the sport were upset about the idea of a hard cap for obvious reasons,
yeah.
And so what they essentially, if my remembering is correct, they essentially worked out an idea where there's two separate caps. There's a cap for bringing in players, recruits, right, signing guys, all of that, and then there's a retention cap that you can use to re-sign the own players on your roster. Now, the one big difference that I will say, because I'm glad you brought up the Dusty May stuff. I did see it, and we didn't talk about while you're at it. It's just one of the things that got lost in the shuffle. The biggest difference between college football and college basketball right now, at least with the powers that be, like if you're a lower level college football coach, Jamarcus Shepherd, we'll use him as an example.
Yeah.
If he has five or six elite players this year, what is likely to happen to all of them in the offseason? They're all likely to bounce up. Now, maybe not all of them do. Maybe some of them stay loyal. But the odds tell you that the majority of those guys will move on. At least if you're a big fish in college football, it is still an exhausting job. It's a never-ending job. It's 365 days a year, but you don't have to necessarily deal with rebuilding your entire roster year in and year out, right? Like, use the top 15 teams in the sport, Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, like, go to Indiana, go down the list of all those teams right now. The bulk of their players are back year in and year out. You're not losing a lot of starters.
It only happens if programs fire a coach,
exactly,
and then it's a gutting of the roster,
exactly,
to bring in your own guys.
Or you have a disappointing season or whatever the case may be, or a coach moves on. College hoops, there is a very realistic threat of, like, you got essentially a new team every year because you already have the one-and-done idea. So if you sign an elite player, he's usually there for a year, and then he's gone. The portal, all that other stuff. And so you're almost having to reshape your roster every single season, unless you're like a Tom Izzo at Michigan State. He's one of the rare ones who seemingly has Michigan State guys through their entire career. But everybody else, you got to go back to the drawing board every offseason.
So if you guys missed the quotes, I'm sure some of you saw it out there, but the quote was basically because The Athletic did a piece on Dusty May and why he left Michigan. And he said when Mike Schmitz called him in the spring, shout out the Blazers.
Hey.
He basically was like, hey, are you interested? And Dusty May said, I was actually very excited to get to the Big Ten meetings because we're going to find some solutions. He says, quote, I go there and I was just like, oh my God, nothing's getting fixed ever. And so when Mike Schmitz called him, he just called him like at the perfect time of him just getting out and finding out they're not going to do any different. They're not going to change anything, mandate anything. And Dusty May, who just won the national championship, was largely going to bring back a decent amount of his players that hadn't left for the NBA. But it's still like an ever-growing problem, even for the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
Of, oh, holy crap, we have to change out seven guys.
Right.
And basketball, to me, we can discuss and debate college football portal guys, no portal guys. Everybody's doing the portal with a brain. We know it can work.
Yep.
I think a lot of it has to do with your culture and your coach. Basketball's a little different. Your coach can be great, but if you heavily portal, you might not have the same success the next year that you had the year prior, in the sense of, like, there's ego, there's a smaller amount of guys that you have to get in lockstep, and that seems like it'd be easier, but in many ways, it's actually harder.
Right.
And basketball is a very diva sport in general, so like there's a lot of elements of the portal and how it can impact basketball a lot differently, I think, than college football. And so Dusty May, it's a really good write-up, but he basically is just like, I couldn't handle it anymore. I didn't want to go through it. Was presented a great opportunity, so unfortunately, I love Michigan, but I left.
Well, and the other big difference there, too, goes back to the idea that if I spend my time and effort to recruit a kid in college basketball, and he ends up being, he's a five-star kid, he's elite, he's gone after 1 year. So you put all that effort in, it's 1 year. If you sign a top whatever player in college football, now, barring he wants to leave or he doesn't play or whatever the case, if he stays committed to your school, let's use DeCorian Moore as an example, number one wide receiver in the country. He's that, you got him for 3 years.
Right.
So you put that time and effort in, you spend that money, and now, again, he might train, who knows how the future holds, but he's likely going to be there for 3 years and then try and go to the NFL. And so you put the time and effort in, and you get at least 3 years out of it. In college hoops, you get an elite player. The Boozer Cat, number one player in the country. Bye-bye. See you later. Go have fun in the NBA.
Loaded second hour of the radio programs. Kick it off. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, hour two on 105.1, The Fan.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.